I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi guys, welcome back to the Rick Shields podcast, everybody. My name's Rick Shields. I'm here with producer Guy. And this week would have been one of my favourite weeks of the entire year.
The Open Week.
This would have been the Open Week. The 149th Open Championship at Royal St George's. And obviously with everything going on, that is no longer the case. And to somewhat celebrate or to somewhat at least mark the occasion, the RNA and the Open are doing something really, really cool, which we want to talk about.
Yes.
First thing though, what do you love most about the Open?
I love Sundays, watching the Open from pretty much start till finish.
Is it your favourite golf tournament to watch?
Yes. So, we said this on, I think we said on last week's podcast, on many podcasts before. Personally, I don't watch a lot of tour golf. That's just, for me, I'd never sit down on a random Thursday and watch a USPGA Tour event unless it was one where Tiger's come back from injury or there's something really about it that I want to see. The Open, however, I will typically watch pretty much every minute of every day. Not every year, but typically I will. I've also been to, I'm lucky enough to have been to a lot of the Opens.
How many have you been to? Can you name them?
Easily 10. I could say this, I did. In terms of years, I did 12, didn't do 13, I did 14, 15, 16, 17 and 18. So that's 6. I didn't do last year at Portrush, but I went with you a couple of weeks before, so it kind of feels like I did, but I didn't.
Yeah, grandstands, everything was up.
St Andrews 2005, St Andrews 2010. I think 05 was when Nicklaus bowed out. And I was at Birkdale for 98 when Justin Rose chipped in on the last. I stood and watched that live.
Wow,
as a
that
7-year-old.
Is going back.
Yeah, so I've easily been to 10. But quite lucky because obviously where we live in the northwest of England, there's so many around
us.
And with you and with my old job, whatever, I went to a number. I just love the Open. The weird thing with the Open, though, would say is it's amazing to go, at least for a day. If you ever get the chance to go and you're lucky enough to go, go. But in terms of watching golf, it's nowhere near as good watching it there as it's on TV, is it? You don't see as much.
I think that's, if I'm dead honest, I would say that for most live events.
Yeah.
For most live sporting events that I've been to, hand on heart, for as a viewing experience, watching it on TV is better, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I've been to the Masters on a Sunday, but it's just you don't get that
the vibe.
Or you get the atmosphere. That's the one thing you do, like the roars and the emotion, yeah, and watching it, having a couple of beers when you're actually there is phenomenal. Getting so close to the players is phenomenal. But as an all-round and holistic approach as of a viewing experience, there's nothing for me better than watching it on TV. I do like, and this sounds really sad, I actually like being there and watching it on TV.
Yeah, on the big comfy beanbags.
Yeah, yeah, so quite a few occasions I've actually been on site.
Yeah, yeah.
So Royal Portrush was a typical one last year where the weather wasn't great. I was there on site. So you get the atmosphere, that everyone walking in through the grandstands, the waterproofs, the wellies, the odd American accent who are just, oh my God, this is so cool. And like, it's every single, like I bump into loads of one fans who watch the channel. So that's always amazing. I love interacting with that. But also, people who I've not seen for years, who possibly I might only see at every Open,
mm-hmm,
like people from the tour or the PGA or friends that I've not seen, and I'll literally see them every single year at the Open. We'll grab a beer, whatever. But you see, you get all that. Like, I love that.
I love the drive in to the ones where you can see, I think you can, it's intangible, you can see the open coming, you can see the tour vans, you can see the helicopter, see the big huge cranes.
Even the car parks when you're driving in, like car park A or red car park or green car park, or just class.
Weirdly as well, I know you've had some situations where you're looking to park close or even walk to the venue, but I love the weird parking up, again, a little bus.
Park and ride.
And you see that mixture of like, you see your kind of casual fan who's got a pair of trainers on. Then you see your hardcore guy. He's like 55. He's probably called Colin. He's got a pair of FootJoy Brogues on. He wants his spikes. It's a warm day, but he wants to be wearing his spikes. He wants people to know he's a member of a golf club.
He's not playing.
Oh, no, absolutely
He'll actually have his logo of his
club,
golf
top.
Club.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be a nice one. It'll be like Wentworth or somewhere like that.
Yeah.
You know what's also, I think, really nice touch from the local areas when the opens on? Obviously, the whole community really gets behind it, I would imagine, you know. And I really like seeing the little bits on the build-up. Like, you might go to a random roundabout, and the roundabout artwork is like a golfer.
Yeah, a nice flower display.
Yeah, and one that I really liked at Royal Liverpool a couple of years ago at Hoylake.
Yeah.
The whole town, they'd got a load of old golf bags, like dead old classic golf bags.
This is ringing a bell.
I don't know how far deep or they filled them or they put a layer in, but they put soil in them and planted plants from the top of them. And they were everywhere. And they lined the streets and it was awesome. All the lampposts have the open banners with, you know, Jack Nicklaus, Nick Faldo, Tiger Woods, Rory, like all of the past champions. It is just, and then, like I say, you get inside and it's typical on Lynx ground, so just being able to walk on Lynx grass and the tented villages where the grass has been a bit trampled down, and
the overpriced fish and chips, but it's worth it.
Correct. You can smell the fish and chips, you can smell the burger and chips. Like, it is, the food's okay, but it's massively overpriced. You can't, weirdly, like I say, you're probably different to me, but I love, again, grabbing a beer when it's busy in the plastic cups, and it doesn't taste.
You've got
great.
Your shades on.
Yeah, exactly.
That's when you know it's safe. When Rick's got his shades on and a beer in his hand, he's on it. Then
I'm on it. Yeah, and like I say, it's just the whole experience. I've been to several now. I've probably not maybe been as many as you. I've been to St Andrews twice. I've been to Troon. I've been to obviously Birtdale a couple of times, Lytham. Royal Liverpool.
Been to a few. You did obviously last year
at Royal Port Rush.
Carnoustie. We worked at Carnoustie. That was a good one.
That was a really good one. I've been to a lot.
You know what else as well I like about the Open? I've like been to Opens, like obviously went to Carnoustie with you. I've been with my brother and my dad to Opens, been with friends. Weirdly, well, it's not that weird, but on the Royal Liverpool one, which was 2014, I actually went on my own. I drove to Liverpool, and then I got the train.
I've done that a few times.
Honestly, I loved it. I got the train from Liverpool, Lime Street, to Royal Liverpool. I can't remember what the train station was. On my own, and it was like a weird sense of freedom where obviously, again, I was on my own, but it was like, if I want to go to Hole 10 for an hour, I'll do that. If I want to then go to Tented Village and look around the shop, I'll do that. And obviously it's nice to have company. Weirdly, because it was a local one to me, I end up meeting up loads of people I knew, and I had a bit of a schoolboy. I remember I went in jeans and it was absolutely roasting, so that wasn't very good. And then another kind of awkward thing was I was walking following Rory, and Michael Bannon, his coach, was following, like kind of behind the ropes, like everybody else kind of thing. And I went up to him and said, excuse me, can I have a picture? I don't know why I did this.
To Michael Bannon?
Yeah, and he looked at me really confused. Just to say, like, he went, are you sure you want a picture with me? Like, he kind of honestly said that. And I went, yeah. And I got a picture.
That's weird for you, because it's not like you're an aspiring, like, golf professional.
I don't know why I did
that.
I just got a selfie with Michael Bannon. And he kind of looked really confused. And it was obviously, it was definitely him.
I wonder if you were his first ever
possibly.
Selfie.
Well, I don't quite know why I did that.
What year was that?
That was 14. That one went when Rory won, actually.
No way. Yeah, I think I'll be honest, I think I did Liverpool on my own one day. I mean, as a PGA Pro, they look after you, to be fair. You have to pay your entry in, but you get to reimburse your entrance fee. It's dead weird. You have to go to the PGA tent, sign in. There's like this guard of honour outside the door who always salutes you and shakes your hand when shaking hands were allowed. You'd sign in, you'd get a form you'd have to fill out. You then have to take that form to the HSBC bank and get your money back for your ticket. It's one of the perks of being a PGA golf professional. Often that'd take an hour. Like, it was a bit annoying, but you know what I do like about it? It's even though, as I mentioned and you've mentioned, the Open travels around, it goes to a circuit of golf courses, there's a level of familiarity of it.
It's like a nice Nando's, isn't it?
It is.
You go to different Nando's, but you know what you're going to get.
It just it tastes the same, but it's different. Like, you're looking around going, this is different, but it feels so familiar. And for me, you know, I love the idea of trying to, you know, certainly over the last few years, when you can sneak onto the driving range. When I know a few little tour reps and go, yeah, just we help us on the driving range. Suddenly you're on the driving range and you're walking like you're Billy Big Balls.
Did that at Carnoustie to be wet with that a weird passage going through.
It feels good though, doesn't it? Like, it feels good standing on the driving range or going on the tour trucks. I mean, like I say, even like the daft things like trying to get an entry into like the clubhouse. I must admit, I don't think I've ever accomplished that. I know I did at Carnoustie actually, but we were filming.
Yeah.
That was a weird one, actually. Do you remember when we went into Carnoustie in the clubhouse and all the players were around? On every single TV in the frigging clubhouse was my video that I'd filmed there from a few months before, which was dead weird.
Really fast Wi-Fi as well at Carnoustie clubhouse.
Super. To be honest, most of the time it was fast Wi-Fi at the Opens because they actually lay cables down. Do you remember when we played a few years or a year or so before the Open and they were laying all the cables down?
Yeah.
And it's a massive expense but an investment for the future because, again, the Open want to promote the Open when it's there with all the media. And even going like the media tent and the big screens and, like I say, it is.
I'm really missing the Open now, talking about the Open so much. I didn't realise how much I liked the Open until talking about the Open.
It is amazing. And like this year, it would have been at Royal St George's. It's, for us, geographically, it's probably the furthest distance away.
Yeah,
it's down in Sandwich, which is southeast of England, as far as you can possibly go down in the corner of Kent, right near to Prince's Golf Club and can't think of the others. But it's like, but we'd have gone. I'm sure there would have been an opportunity for doing something. Last year I was at Portrush with MasterCard. The year before I was at Carnoustie with the Open themselves. And this year there were some promising talks about going again this year. And it's like, it's not happening.
Well, something quite good is happening though, Rick, which we've looked into. You're a bit better explaining this than I am, but I'm very excited for this. And it's the, Sunday. So this Sunday coming up now, which is the 19th, should be what would be the Open Sunday. So in my eyes, we'd have Tiger Woods walking down the 18th with his red polo shirt on, probably a black cap, black pants, black shoes. He'd be winning by two. He'd make a nice par and hold a claret jug. And the life would be great. I'd be happy with that. I'd have a can of ice-cold Monster at home watching it. Or might even be there with you. That's not going to happen this year, unfortunately.
And he would have walked off the 18th green and give us a nod going, thanks, Rick. And Guy, love the podcast. I wouldn't got here without you two.
Probably wouldn't have, because when he needs to practice, sometimes Tiger thinks, I can't bother practicing. Then he thinks, actually, I've got an episode of the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast to listen to. I'll put my AirPods in and I'll hit a few balls. And that extra bit of grind is what's got him to where he's got today.
And to be honest, his relationship with Monster is kind of all through that.
I mean, it's
all linked together, basically.
It's all meant to be. So anyway, Rick, what is happening instead?
So, to mark the occasion, the RNA have decided to do something that has never, ever been done before. It's very innovative and creative, and I can't wait to watch it because it's basically the Open for the ages. So it is a way of being able to put something out online. It's on YouTube, on the Open YouTube. It's on Sky Sports. It's on the Golf Channel. It will be distributed around the world. And it's effectively a three-hour final round broadcast of the best players who have competed at the Open around St. Andrews. And with the magic of editing, and the magic of creativity and archived footage, they're going to actually be able to put a tournament together, a fictional tournament, obviously, together to be able to crown the Open champion of the ages.
I know I want to win.
Well, yeah, I think I do too. So a few little bullet points. The main program features archives from the last 50 years, with 1970 being the first Open at St. Andrews that had the full colour broadcast. So it's going to be from 1970s forward. It's actually going to be live commentary from Nick Doherty, Ewan McMurray, and Butch Hardman, and Iona Stevens, who we know really well. And believe it or not, they were actually live commentating on it, even though they were miles apart. So they didn't know the winner live commentating, because after that three-hour broadcast, after 18 holes of championship golf from archives over the ages, there is going to be a winner, which has been not just luck, not just a a way of being able to pick a winner out of the hat, the Open have used data sets from championship golf courses at St Andrews, also given feedback from fans and followers around the world who they think should win it. And on that Open Sunday, you'll be able to see some of the best players of the ages from 1970 to present day effectively competing against each other to see who wins.
This is the kind of thing that if I heard, without being, how do I word this, if I heard maybe another sport doing it or something, I wouldn't be so sure. I think for golf, it massively works. And the fact it's the Open who are kind of the most, well, arguably the most authentic golf tournament, I think it's going to be good.
It's going to be live leaderboards.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we've not got the Open on Sunday, unfortunately. We've not got, you know, the real Open, the 149th Open. But I think this is going to be something that's a bit different. And I must admit, I'm quite excited to see where it goes. Could this be something that's going to happen going forward? I don't know. But it will be interesting to see how a winner is decided and who the winner will be. I have got no idea who's going to win. I want it to be Tiger, obviously.
I want it to be Tiger. The names in the hat are going to be, obviously, Tiger.
Yeah.
Jack Nicklaus.
Yeah.
It's players who have won round the St Andrews.
There's other players as well, I think. Not all of them have won at St Andrews.
No. It's open champions of the past.
So you've got your Rorys, your Spieths.
Yeah. Like players like Zach Johnson, who's won at St Andrews. Players like John Daly, Nick Faldo. Can we find a list of who are the players that have actually won? Because I think a player who's going to win this is going to be a player who's won at St Andrews.
I think
in
that
the
would
past.
Be. Yeah, I think that's probably.
So it might rule out. Like, I don't imagine Rory's going to win this in this fictional tournament because his stats at St Andrews, as much as they're super impressive, he hasn't actually won an Open at St Andrews.
Well, when you look at the winners of the Open of years gone by, so last year we had Lowry. Before that, we had obviously Molinari, Spieth, Stenson, Zach Johnson, Rory, Mickelson. Like, there's some massive names there. But for me personally, I know I'm a younger generation. Even those aren't some of the names I associate with the Open. I would personally put like Harrington above that and think of the Open.
Well, he's won more. Has he won more?
Well, he's won two, one back to back, didn't he? You know, obviously, in a weird way, for me personally, I would put almost resonate the Open more with a Paul Laurie than a Spieth. Is that a controversial shout? Is it because of my age at the time?
It could
possibly?
Have been, yeah, I think it is. Yeah, that's got to play a big factor. I mean, it's really hard to look back to Tiger Woods. Like, he's won there two times at St Andrews. You've got let's go through. This is a list of champions at St Andrews: Zach Johnson, 2015; Louis Oosthuizen. Why did I get that name wrong? 2010; Tiger Woods in 2005; Tiger Woods in 2000. John Daly in 95, Nick Faldo in 90, Seve Ballesteros in 1984. So he's going to be high up on that ranking.
Jack in
78. And then we've got Jack again in 70. So that would be where it is.
That's as far.
So effectively, Jack's won there twice. Tiger's won there twice.
And those two, well, it's battling it down the last would be sick.
So we've seen a very tiny little teaser of this, and let me tell you, it looks bloody impressive.
Yeah.
Like, I was glued, and after about a minute and a half watching the footage, already I'd forgotten that this isn't real. Like, I was sucked in. I was watching it going, this is class. Like, I'm really into this.
This would be one of those things that I think, if Tiger won, there'd be obviously a lot of Nicklaus fans probably a bit frustrated. If Nicklaus wins, there'll be a lot of certainly the younger generation who would be frustrated. So it will be interesting to see who wins. I am looking forward. I'll tell you something I'm looking forward to actually as well. It actually sounds silly, but seeing more of these guys actually playing golf. Because although you've got the footage online, I'll be honest, I've never spent much time watching Jack Nicklaus, really. I've never spent much time watching the older stuff of Tom Watson. So it'd be quite good to see some of those highlights and see how they struck the ball, see how they played the game. So that'll be interesting as well. And obviously, even just watching back some iconic Tiger stuff will be quite good.
But I believe there's a really nice point in there as well from Arnold Palmer walking down the 18th as his last Open champion, because obviously he was kind of before this 1970 era, really. So that'll be really touching to see as well.
That's where you'd want to retire, isn't it, from golf and competitive golf and certainly
Imagine
majors.
That would just be the dream, wouldn't it?
I think St Andrews, as I said before, for me, the Open's the best major. That's, I love the Masters as well, but I personally, and I wouldn't, you know, if somebody said to me they prefer the Masters, I wouldn't necessarily argue the case. That's fair enough. If someone tried to say the USPGA is in the Open, I'd argue till the cows come home.
And right, you'd argue that the Ryder Cup as well.
The Open's above the Ryder Cup, yeah. 100% for me. But although we said before that the Open is like a nice Nando's, it's familiar but yet a little bit different at each venue, absolutely nothing. I love not being to every Open venue, to be fair, but none of the ones I've been to come even remotely close to St Andrews.
Is like St Andrews like the Nando's founding restaurant?
The Nando's founding restaurant where you get served almost instantly. The chips are piping hot with just the right amount of peri-peri salt on them. They've got loads. The thing is as well, that Nando's, the ketchups are all full, because I have ketchup at Nando's, which I know is quite controversial, but it's full. It's not like one of those half empty ones you've got to tap the knife to get it out. I don't know if we've been together, but I've actually been to the Nando's at St Andrews as well.
Have you?
Which is, yeah, so that's the best Nando's.
What's fascinating about St Andrews Open is obviously the venue itself.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Itself is so historic, and the last few holes are so iconic. With the 17th, you drive over the clubhouse with the road hole bunker, and then the 18th is the kind of quite easy short par four, but still really does cause a lot of issues with the valley of sin before the green and everything. Take that away, why St Andrews for me is the best Open venue is the town itself.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, the parties and the drinking places, and I probably shouldn't think of it like this, are the best. Like, the atmosphere is the best because they are practiced. It goes there now religiously, unfortunately, not right now, but it goes there every 5 years. They have perfected it. Like, the shops are designed for the Open Championship. The roadways are everything. The restaurants, the bars, everything is tailored for the Open Championship.
You know what I think as well people wouldn't realise until they actually go is like where Golf Place Hotel was the one Nike Place pub opposite Ottoloni's golf shop. Like that's like a really good golf shop and a really nice pub, and then you've got what's the one in the corner called? Is it the
Dunvegan?
The Dunvegan. How close they are to the 18th green.
Ridiculous.
Like, when you say that you could roll a golf ball from Ottoloni's and get it on the 18th green.
You could throw it easily. Well, it's slightly down the hill as well, isn't it?
You could literally roll a golf ball. It might take 10 seconds to get there, but you could roll a golf ball from the golf shop to the 18th green.
It's a pitching wedge, really. Yeah. It is a pitch from the bars and the restaurants and the town. Well, you've seen it on TV, everyone. If you've not been there before, literally the 18th hole runs parallel with the town. Like, I've been in that hotel on the right, I can't remember what the hell it's called now, where you would easily hit a little slicey three wood into it with no issues. And you're there. The Open Championship is the St Andrews is there.
I was actually supposed to be going to St Andrews in May with my dad and my brother to like a little mini, like not a stag do obviously, but a little thing with my dad and my brother to go and play potentially on the course and stay up there. that's obviously had to get cancelled, and this is making it a bit more upsetting now.
So anyway, open for the ages, definitely worth checking out. I'm going to be gripped on Sunday the 19th of July. Let me just tell you where you can watch it. Like I say, Sky Sports, Golf Channel. It's actually also going to be, and this I think this is probably where I'm going to watch it. It's going to be on the Open's YouTube channel.
Yeah.
At from 11 to 2 p.m., 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. British Standard Time. And on Golf Channel from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Time, and many other international broadcasters. Good luck to the Open and the RNA for doing this. I think it's very, very creative. They could have easily just been sat there licking their wounds and going, never mind.
05 Tiger win just on repeat, they could have done instead.
Yeah, of course they could.
Have done something that's actually quite innovative.
I think it's going to get great praise. I think there's going to be some idiots that possibly don't like it, but I think that should be forgotten about. But I think in general, I think it's going to be amazing. I'm going to watch it, and I can't wait to see who wins it.
I want Tiger to win. I will take a Jack win. Anybody else?
Imagine if it was like a six-hole playoff. They couldn't quite decide. You know, in like
a draw, just a friendly draw.
If you played
handshake.
FIFA and you had both teams on computer mode,
yeah.
Do you ever remember doing
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
Because in lockdown, when there was no live sport, people were doing that as their live sport.
Flipping out. You need to get the house if you're doing that, though. I'd rather like, watch two... I was going to say frogs fight. I don't know where the hell that came from.
What the hell? Frogs fight. Quick one, talking about golfers. I want to do a quick build your perfect golfer.
I'd have Rick Shields driving it.
Thanks.
Guy Chanet putting it. Go on. Is that what we're doing from top to bottom?
Top to bottom. And I think players more now.
Right. Should we start with driving or putting? I know, can we have them in the, like, not right today, like in recent years, who's been on form as such?
Yeah, I think so.
And you
so.
Can't pick the same player twice for
yeah,
two different
no,
sections.
Yeah, no, 100% you can't do that.
Okay.
Driving.
Rory.
That's the obvious choice.
I'm going obvious.
Well, if you're going to go Rory, I'm going to either go Brooks or DJ. And I'll probably go Brooks for driving.
Yeah, I think for me...
However, though, if literally my life depended on it, stood there, hit me a shot, 300 yards, straight down the middle, with the most ease, I'd pick Rory.
I feel like when Rory's on it, he's not only hitting it a long way, it's like under pressure, he just gets it away.
Yeah. I still feel like he's got the loose one every now and again.
That's part of the excitement, though, isn't it? Your life depends on it. You've got a little bit of excitement that you might he might actually slice it. You might lose your life.
Fairway woods?
Not really the best shout, but I've always quite liked watching Sergio hit a fairway wood.
Yeah, little, how he traps
that,
it a bit.
That little trap, the little divot off it. It's always been something that I quite like.
Well, I'm going to go Stenson then, because that's the obvious choice.
Yeah, that was my backup.
So you're going to go Sergio, I'll go Stenson.
Irons.
Tiger.
Yeah, I'm not even going to think of anybody else that is...
When you look at stats, and this has been proven across the years, why Tiger has dominated so much for so long. Yes, he was long off the tee, but he wasn't super accurate. Yes, he's a phenomenal putter, but not the best. But his proximity to the hole with irons is the best ever. And if you're hitting the ball closer to the hole all the time, compared to your other players, you are going to shoot lower scores. So Tiger is the best iron player that has ever walked the planet.
Yeah, that's my choice. I feel like if I was going off like current top, I mean, obviously Tiger is a current top player, clearly, but like, you know, the current guys out there who I like. I don't know stats-wise, I can't give you all the strokes gained business, but I like watching Tommy Fleetwood at an iron.
Yeah, he just has that. You never feel like he's going to miss a shot.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That, like, his swing just looks kind of controlled. But over, obviously, my time watching golf, playing golf, I think Tiger is just pure. So, yeah, I'm going to agree with her.
Wedge game.
I feel like you want to say Phil Mick because it's kind of like the standard.
Is wedge game just short game?
I feel like round the green when you say wedges, don't you? But again, who?
Like, I feel like there'll be players better from 100 yards and in. But I mean,
the creativity.
Yeah. Is there any stats on it?
There will be, but I'm not. I'm just
going with your heart.
I'm just going off my heart and which I know really, if you're going off these things, you need to go off stats. But it's who you like watching as well, isn't it? I like the creativity that Phil Mickelson has. I'm just having a quick look at like the world's top players online. I'm just trying to think of who else do I actually like watching. I'd say it was weird. I didn't quite realise Adam Scott was number 10 in the world. I don't know why.
He's been so consistent up there for so many years as well, hasn't he?
And then like Webb Simpson's world number 4.
And that's mad. He just feels like he's someone that's gone kind of under the radar. You know what? I've got a new one for short game. John Rahm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
John Rahm for me. Second in the world. Again, that it's like a sneaky second in the world, him, isn't it?
There's just some of those guys that I think once you've won a major, it kind of becomes more obvious that you should be up there, if that makes sense. But these guys like John Rahm, just so solid. And yeah, he deserves to be there, doesn't he, in the day.
God, Tiger's gone down to number 14.
It's actually with him not playing.
Yeah, maybe. I thought he'd be much higher than that.
Putting. I'm going to go Spieth around that. Was it 2014?
Oh, he was ridiculous. Yeah, that's actually, yeah. It's not even a question, is it? You know who I do really like to watch putting is Louis Oosthuizen. Mm-hmm. I know we talked about him before on the pod. I tell you, statistically amazing at putting as well. Matt Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
Statistically, he's really, really good. But again, possibly not someone I'd pick. Putting. I like Dustin's putting. I know at the moment he's been using a truss.
Which you slated.
In my defence, that particular style that he's using is the one that I was the most fond of.
Well, also, he's got a custom version. If you notice, it's different.
It's different. It's got a slightly different handle, the one I was using. A representative from TaylorMade had a bit of a dig at me on social media. I don't know if you saw that guy.
No. Oh, possibly. That's
a little bit of a sly dig. But I don't like the style. I think Dustin's changed his putter so many times that it's literally, I know it sounds ridiculous, but he could put with anything. I like Dustin Johnson's putter with like the little spider when he was world number one. He just seemed to hold everything. And I like his attitude when he misses. He's got that, like, who cares?
That's all well and good, all this stuff. But what about just the general vibe? Who's got the best overall general vibe? And you know what I'm talking, you can't explain what general vibe is.
Who would you be?
Yeah.
If you could be one tour player from the day.
Just who off course and on course. Like, for example, Tiger on the golf course is unbelievably cool because it's Tiger Woods. When you see him walk into an event with his cap on backwards and he's sometimes not got the best sunglasses on and like bulky Nike trainers that don't look that great on him, he's not actually that cool, is he? So
I've got three players I think I'd pick.
Okay.
Tommy Fleetwood.
Yeah.
I feel like he's got a good vibe. I feel like his on and off course clothing is good and his attitude is good. I'd also pick Justin Thomas.
Would you?
Yeah. Mm. I really like Justin Thomas. He's kind of really growing on me. Just as an overall spokesperson for golf. And, you know, I think he's great.
And I've got a shout that's a bit controversial here, but I think it's a good one.
What, Tony Finau?
Oh my days. Literally Tony Finau.
I like him a lot.
He's cool, isn't he? And he's the kind of guy that when he plays golf in a hoodie, regardless of what you think of that, he actually suits it.
He does.
You know,
massively.
Sometimes when you... I remember once, and it's not Tommy's fault, but when Tommy came to an event at Nike in London, when Nike was trying to push his golf leggings, and he wore them, and he looked quite good on him, but you could tell that he wasn't really what Tommy would wear. But when you see, like, Tony Finau wearing Jordans or big Nike Air shoes with bubbles in, or, like, the hoodie, he actually looks cool.
He does. Right, we're going to do a cool, not cool... for the best players in the world.
Okay.
Ready?
On course, off course, or general vibe?
General vibe.
Okay.
Or just on off course.
If any of these tour pros are listening to the podcast, which clearly they won't be doing, but...
I think we go off course, cool or not cool.
Okay.
We'll start. We're going to go from...
Top 10?
I was going to go 15 because it brings Tiger in.
Okay. Right. So we're doing all top
15. Top 15. Right, Tyrrell Hatton.
Are we going at reverse way up?
Yeah.
Not cool.
Okay. I'd agree. Tiger, not cool.
Yeah, that's...
He's not. Sorry if you're listening. Justin Rose.
I don't know, cool.
I think he's cool.
Because of his, like, he's not trying to be anything he's not. He's, like, quite a cool 40-odd-year-old dad.
Yeah, I think he's really cool. Tommy, cool.
Yeah, cool.
Xander, Schauffele, cool.
Yeah.
Adam Scott.
Absolutely cool. 100% adds Adam Scott's cool.
I don't know.
I'd like to be Adam Scott.
What I'd like to see Adam Scott for me, he's a bit too traditional. I'd like to see Adam Scott in a bit of sportsy stuff.
If you saw Adam Scott in a bar in St Andrews, chilling with a little, he'd probably have like a weird, like a whiskey on ice. He'd look dead cool in the corner with a bit of designer stubble, and maybe like a weird, like what's it called? Like a turtleneck. Like
oh no, I see him like having like a white sweater draped over his shoulders and tied in a bow in front of him.
But that's even, yeah. Well, you could call him not cool, but I know listeners are with me. Adam Scott's very, very cool.
Patrick Reed.
Absolutely not even getting discussed.
No, not cool. Patrick Cantley.
Yeah, no.
I don't know anything. I don't know enough about him, afraid. So, Bryson DeChambeau.
I would give him benefit of the doubt and say cool, but I've watched his Instagram TV videos while on Weird B-roll, ever. And I think he's not that cool.
No, I don't think he is. Brooks.
I want to say cool. I know that's the go-to thing, but I almost think he's... Is he a bit of a jock?
I think he's cool. I do. I'd agree he's a bit of a jock, but I think he's cool. JT, Justin Thomas.
Yeah, fair enough.
Cool.
Yeah.
Webb Simpson. I can't imagine so. Dustin.
I don't know.
I think he's the coolest.
I actually think
he's the coolest.
He has got a lot going for him.
He has got a lot.
Got a very nice lady friend.
He's got lots of money, nice lady friend. I feel like he knows how to enjoy himself.
Well, maybe too much. Go on then. Yeah, he is cool, to be fair.
John Rahm?
I'm going to give John Rahm cool, but not in the controversial cool. I don't think he tries to be cool, John Rahm. I bet he is quite... And I've heard him on a couple of podcasts before, and I think he's quite sound. So I'm going to say cool.
And then number one, Uno, the player who's the best player in the world.
Rory isn't cool.
I think... Rory tries.
On the golf course, he's quite cool.
He's very cool on the golf course. I think off the golf course, he just tries to be a little bit too cool.
Yeah, I don't think he's cool. I don't know who I am. I'm sat here rating people's coolness.
I know.
But...
It's mad, isn't it? Anyway, that was quite cool.
I think we said the word cool far too many times in this podcast. Can I just do something quickly, Rick?
Hit me.
I have got... So we've been getting loads of emails, which is... podcast@rickshields.com. That was a bit of a stutter. podcast@rickshields.com. And as you know, we can't reply to them all, we can't read them all out, but please do continue to send them in, because we do at least read them all, even if we don't reply, which I know it's a bit, I do feel bad sometimes. We do try and reply to as many, but anyway, send them in. What I was going to get to is we had a really good listener of the week kind of request, if you like. So if you're new to the podcast and you've listened for this long, thank you. I've been rating professional golfers on the coolness level, but it's been quite fun. Listener of the week is simply a bit of a shout out, a bit of a thank you to people that listen and support the podcast week in, week out. There is some criteria. We don't always ask people to stick to it, but roughly and vaguely, and keep this sharp, the criteria is to be obviously a listener to the podcast, to subscribe to the podcast, to subscribe to Rick's YouTube channel, to his Twitter accounts, to be a follower, etc., etc. And as always, send us an email with "Hi, Guy and Rick." That's how you get this of the week. But this one from Anthony was, I've actually since replied, Rick, to say, can we read this out on air? And he said yes, because it's quite personal. I won't go into all the depth, but basically he started off by congratulating you on the million subscribers.
Thank you very much, Anthony.
And he said it was thoroughly deserved. He's a big fan of the podcast and the YouTube channel. He subscribes to everything with screenshots as well, which is always good for evidence, so we can prove that you are truly a worthy listener of the week. And he's a member of the Facebook group, and he's been given a Rising Star badge, which is good. So basically, he said the last couple of months have been quite difficult, very difficult for him. He has a fiance who works for the NHS. She's a nurse, so thanks for all the great work that she does. Unfortunately, she caught COVID, and he said it was that bad that she nearly died a couple of months ago. Fortunately, she's okay, and she's back on the mend, but she's recovering slowly. And although that's completely different to my situation and much, much worse, he said, similar to me, he was due to be getting married this year, but he's had to postpone it till next year, which is obviously a shame, but I'm sure that'll be worth the wait. And kind of finally, another bit of bad news, unfortunately, for Anthony. He found out that he was actually looking, potentially he was going to be losing his job because the business he works for is shutting down. So basically, he's obviously had a bit of a hard time, but he then said that, I really like this line, he said, I'm not going to pretend that the podcast or videos make things okay, but they've been good, and they've helped him, and they've helped him take his mind off something, and it's helped to kickstart his love of golf again.
That's nice.
I quite liked how he was quite honest about it.
Well, it's not going to
Exactly. You know,
it's not going to give him a job, and it's not going to, unfortunately, make his lovely lady better, but at least it's picked up his spirits.
Exactly. And he said that since actually watching your videos, I mean, on the Facebook group, he's then got the dusted off the golf clubs and got out there a bit more, and it's something to be excited about. And he's also actually taken his fiancée to the driving range, which is really cool as well.
Nice. Glad she's back recovered and back on her feet.
Exactly. So, long story short, it was just a really nice email that was, you know, I think a lot of people listening can, you know, we don't want to be kind of too dark on the podcast, but can, you know, resonates that, you know, life over the last couple of months hasn't been easy for a lot of people. And we, for one second, don't expect that your videos and our podcast and content or whatever make anything any better. But if it can at least get people remotely inspired to get to the driving range one night a week and take their mind off it a little bit, that's great. He then asked at the end, kind of jokingly, if you've got any jobs going, let me know. What we did find out, though, for Anton, though, he actually lives quite local to us. I think he's in the Manchester area. So we actually are possibly going to be speaking to Anthony about helping us out with a few little bits going forward. And who knows, maybe in the future he might be an employee at Rick Shields Media. Who knows? But thanks so much, Anthony. That was really good email.
Thank you so much. I'm glad things are looking better again. Right, guys, thanks so much for listening to the Rick Shields podcast. Next week, we have a fantastic guest. We spoke about it last week, about the World Handicap System, and we have got...
it's Claire.
Claire on the show next week, which I'm really excited about, because I want to find out about the World Handicap System, because I'll be honest, I don't know enough about it.
It's not Claire, it's Gemma.
You know what, though? Before you said Claire, I was thinking Gemma, but I think we did have a Claire lined up.
We had a Claire...
From the RNA.
And also, your wife's called Claire. Correct. And I just had to go to the toilet and say, excuse me, Claire, Rick, can you use a toilet? And she was very polite and said, of course you can use a toilet, guys. That's
outside.
Why, yeah. I sling your ruck.
So, yeah, we've got Gemma on the show next week, which is going to be really good. Like I say, World Handicap. Talking about the World Handicap, because honestly, I don't know enough about it. And I think she's the expert. If you've got any questions, make sure you fire them across on the Rick Shields Facebook page or email them at podcast@rickshields.com. Guys, thanks for listening. Stay tuned, lots more to come. And that was, I have no idea what number episode we're up to, but that was number whatever.
Like 30, I think.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
29 was last week's short and snappy. Well, yeah, last week's short and snappy one.
I think this is the same length. Well, anyway, well, if you're still listening now, you really need to crack on with your day. I'll see you soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.